This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Thursday.
Great little Thursday.
It's your sports bros, Rob and Sooks.
The show is moving by very quickly.
Emeritus, in its current usage, just means retired, basically.
Oh, okay.
But when they call you, you know, like Professor Emeritus or Bishop Emeritus, Prime Minister Emeritus, you get to keep your title because it's honorable.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what that means.
I just want to be an Esquire.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Jason S. Sukanic, Esquire.
Would you rather be an Esquire or like Porno Laureate?
Porno Laureate? Yeah. That's safe for Johnny Sins. And I, sir, am no Johnny Sins.
I am a Laureate Emeritus. I don't know if you knew that about me.
A lot of titles out there.
So who gets emeritus status? It's basically like professors, retired chairs, pastors, bishops, popes, directors, presidents, prime ministers, rabbis, emperors, or other persons who have been permitted to retain as an honorary title.
Now
the rank of the last office held.
I'm on board. If I could be anything, sign me up to be emperor. Are you kidding me? Let's do that.
Coming up this hour, we will get back to somehow we've stumbled upon the David Kahn trade, the David Kahn draft.
Yes.
With the Minnesota Timberwolves.
And it turns out it directly involves your Portland Trailblazers.
And we have not thought about that in a while, but since it came back up, we were all sitting here thinking about it, going, my God, that's one of the worst drafts in the history of sports.
And according to apparently the Minnesota Timberwolves fan base, this is the worst draft in NBA history. I guess one, like...
Well, it's got to be.
Yeah, one round that this turned into for a team.
Dude, sports history, it's got to be up there.
It's phenomenal.
I've never seen anything like it, and we haven't...
Yeah,
I just don't think we've given it enough credit.
And it gets worse. Let's just say this. It involves Luke Babbitt.
And David Kahn, of course, Portland guy. So we will discuss that. How many games will the Seahawks win? Of course, the NFL schedule is being released as we speak, finally. I have fun with audio, the reveal of who will represent the Blazers at the draft lottery next week.
Yeah, we've all been wondering.
Well, the Blazers had someone reveal that today on their social media feeds.
Blazers.
So we'll have that. And coming up tonight in the club, hey, you're a bald guy, right?
I am.
Are you bald guys constantly being sexually harassed?
I feel like we are. I mean, people can't keep their hands off of me, and quite frankly, it's a little much.
I have a story regarding that.
Can I be triggered now if someone calls me baldy?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, for God's sakes.
They're equating it to, and this is in a court of law.
Yeah.
They're equating it to someone commenting on a woman's bazoongas.
Oh, really? Yep,
that's right. That's right. So we'll have that story right now. The Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air.
Hell no.
It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, what? That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Yeah, let's try this.
Number five.
Kentucky Derby winner Rich Strike will not run in the Preakness. They want to give him more recovery time before racing again.
Yeah. Well, that, and let's be honest, he's not winning again. So save the horse, and it's all about the stud fee at this point.
AT&T Byron Nelson. This is the precursor to next week's PGA Championship. What's his nuts?
I love what's
Sebastian Munoz.
He's always my favorite golfer.
Forgot his name for a second. But I tell you what, he's a great player. He shot a 60 today. Whoa. 12 under 60.
Good Lord.
And he was only 2 under through 8.
What is the PGA record? Is it 50?
58.
58?
Jimmy Furyk, the only 58.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So and Munoz also had a bogey in there. It's crazy. But he is 12 under. They are down in Texas. Mito Pereira, 8 under, along with some guy named Malnati and K.H. Lee. I don't know. The PGA Championship is next week. That's what you need to know.
Is Phil playing in that? Have we confirmed?
He's in the field.
He's in the field?
Well, he's the past champion.
So. Yeah, so that's...
I don't think he's actually said if he is...
He's scheduled to play.
But there's a spot for him.
Okay.
Put it down. What else we have?
And Tiger is playing in that, too.
He's in the field. D1 Council will vote next week on eliminating divisional requirements for conference title games. This paves the way for the Pac-12, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Mountain West to eliminate divisions in 2023.
Yeah, and we all know that that's the way this is going. Give me the two best teams, regardless of divisions. You still have your divisions as a way to set up scheduling, but it's ridiculous in any conference. If Oregon and Oregon State are the two best teams, they should play in the Pac-12 title game. The Big 12 has it right. They just have never had enough teams since everyone left to do the old splitteroo, but no one's worse than the Big Ten. If you look at the balance of power in the Big Ten, it's ridiculous on one side versus the other.
Hey, quick baseball note. I'm going to corkscrew in here. Looks like the Padres are coming to terms with your boy, Robinson Cano.
Yes.
San Diego.
After the Mets sent him down for assignment and still have to pay him $40 million.
Yeah, he gets $40 million.
You really want Robinson Cano if you're the Padres?
I wondered that myself. But.
Yeah, maybe get him back on the sauce.
Let's see. Broncos receiver Jerry Jeudy arrested in Denver for the longest time today. No one seemed to know why, but it sounds like he has been messing with his ex's belongings.
Yes, something to that. So he was arrested for tampering.
Which is like messing with his ex's belongings.
With property.
It's a domestic dispute, basically.
It's a domestic dispute, and this could be anything from smashing someone's iPhone to slashing tires.
Right.
And then they call it the domestic violence enhancer because it's you're messing with the property of someone that you were in or currently, you know, in a relationship with or were. And it sounds like this is his baby's mama.
Who's
doing this?
Second degree charge of criminal tampering with the domestic violence enhancer. That's the official.
But it is not a
word.
He did not commit domestic violence. He did not physically hit her. He damaged property.
Unbelievably minor NFL trade as the Patriots have dealt quarterback Jarrett Stidham to the Raiders.
Yeah, that's...
Ooh. Should I have left that out?
How about that? Ooh. You're the Broncos. You know, you're happy about Russell Wilson, but hey, there's a QB competition in the Mile High.
Well, he'll compete for the backup. Do you know who he's competing against, though? So he won't... isn't going to challenge Derek Carr.
I'm trying to think now that...
It's a three-man race there.
That Marcus is gone. I don't...
It will be Jarrett Stidham competing against Garrett Gilbert and Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins fame.
Don't overlook Nick Mullins.
I don't think you should. I think Mike's right.
We did that entire show. Remember, this was years ago when he first had his Thursday night football game, and we were like, what if he throws for 300 yards? And he did.
He did. Yeah. The Niners. And then we learned that he sucked.
I think we always knew that.
Halftime, game 6, Miami and Philly. They are in Philadelphia, and right now the 76ers, who are facing elimination, trail by 1 at the break, 49-48. I'm going to go ahead and tell you the lead scorer of the Heat, and you tell me if you've ever heard of him. Max Strus.
Max Strus? Who the hell is Max Strus?
I have not watched enough Heat basketball to know or to be able to answer that for you, but he is the leading scorer for Miami in that game was 16.
Apparently, he is a shooting guard in his second year out of DePaul, averaging a whopping 10 points per game.
You remember when DePaul was good?
I do remember when DePaul was good.
Fun times, huh? Full NFL schedule released via Slow Drip today. We got all kinds of leaks. The first leak that came out earlier today was Kansas City will be visiting Tampa Bay on Sunday Night Football.
And then we'll have to sit there and be like, oh, it's a Super Bowl rematch, as if this has anything to do with the Super Bowl. But
that'll be in week four.
We'll play it up.
So all the schedules are out now. We have yet to go through them since we're hosting a little radio show here. But yeah, we do have Christmas Day. We know that the Broncos will play the Rams in L.A. on Christmas Day.
I bet the NBA is thrilled that we get three NFL Christmas Day games.
The Thanksgiving games will be Bills-Lions, Giants-Cowboys, and Patriots-Vikings. Seahawks will open the season with a Monday Night Football matchup against Russell Wilson and the Broncos in Seattle.
That's cool.
That's really cool.
I like when they do that, because that place will be crazy. Now, Seattle's not going to be any good, but yeah, that should be a fun game.
The Seahawks will also host the Jets on New Year's Day, which is week 17. And the opening game of the season, we have learned, is, which is always on Thursday Night Football,
yeah,
will be the Bills visiting the Rams.
That's fantastic.
That's a great kickoff game there.
The NFL does a good job with the schedules.
So we'll get to more scheduling talk coming up next. More on the David Kahn draft from hell. That is your Hot 5 at 5. Right now feels like a great time to kick back and relax with an ice cold Coors Light. Coors Light. Mountain cold refreshment. Made to chill. It is 5:15 on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, I've got the Seahawks schedule in front of me. We will get to that here in a moment. NFL schedule's out today. I also have the strength of schedule list. You know, that's important.
Well, it makes a huge difference. In a league where you get about a 50% turnover in playoff teams every year, and most of the time, especially for the wild card, it's going to come down to a game or two, strength of schedule is a huge deal.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be based off of last year's win percentage.
Yes.
And this one that I have is not. It's from Sharp Football, who also realizes that it shouldn't be based off of last year's, because, well, like, for example,
yeah,
Drew Locke is now the quarterback in Seattle, not Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
So why would you base it off of last year's win percentage? It's a totally different game if you're playing Seattle. So he bases it off of win probabilities for this year, and it's very interesting what it has spit out. We will get to all of those items here momentarily, but first, earlier in our show today, here on this podcast broadcast, we were talking about Greg Norman being the worst frontman for a sports entity since David Kahn tried to head up Major League Baseball to Portland in the early 2000s here in Portland.
Yes.
David Kahn was an attorney who got himself involved in that, trying to get the Expos here. And while he may have been smart, and who knows, maybe behind the scenes got closer than anybody knew, I don't know, he was an awful front man because he was very much like Neil Olshey, sensitive,
condescending,
abrasive, and just a D. So we were talking about him, and it came up that he was then, later, years down the road, he became the general manager of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and he was the one that drafted the three point guards in the first round. And it was, what, Johnny Flynn,
He went Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn with the fifth and sixth overall pick. Steph Curry went seven, and then with the 18th pick, he drafted Ty Lawson.
Although I guess they traded Lawson to Denver.
But this is
that's what Souk wants to bring
and
up.
And this is where it gets worse. So first off, the best point guard that you took in that draft was Ty Lawson. And by the way, all three of them were undersized. He was the best one.
The best point guard in that draft was Steph Curry. You had two shots at him,
and you didn't
take him.
No. So they
and you took 3 point. Who drafts three of the same position in the same draft? Oh, my God.
All in the first round.
All in the first round. Right?
Holy crap.
So as soon as they draft Ty Lawson, they dealt Ty Lawson.
What year was that, by the way?
09.
Okay.
09. So they deal Ty Lawson that same night
to
the Nuggets.
Okay.
For a future first round pick, next the pick in 2010, and cash. I guess David Kahn loved getting cash considerations, right? It was his big deal.
Because he'd line his own pockets, probably.
I'm guessing. So 2010 rolls around. That ends up being the 16th overall pick. And who do they get? Luke Babbitt. The great Luke Babbitt.
Oh, wow.
And this is where the Blazers come in. So as soon as they got Luke Babbitt, they flipped his rights along with Ryan Gomes to the Portland Trail Blazers for Martell Webster.
Oh, that's right.
Who already had a 4-year, $20 million deal with the Portland Trail Blazers.
That's right.
What happened to Martell Webster? Well, it turns out the Blazers knew this. He was damaged goods. He needed two back surgeries to repair a bulging disc, one before he ever played in a Minnesota T-Wolves game. So he struggled through two injury-plagued seasons with Minnesota before they released him. So,
oh, my God.
And apparently that pissed off David Kahn. David Kahn believed that the Blazers knew about Martell Webster and didn't say anything, even though there's a physical there, and apparently he was fine. So now David Kahn's pissed. So the Timberwolves apparently got so mad at that, according to sources inside Minnesota, they made an aggressive $46.5 million free agent play for Nick Batum, right? Which Portland matched. But they didn't just screw up with that. They didn't have any cap room to accommodate that offer. So they started releasing a bunch of people trying to clear out room, including buying out Martell Webster, who they had traded that draft pick for with the Ty Lawson thing, to get enough room to go get Nick Batum. Problem is, the Blazers matched it. So now you're sitting there being like, crap, we cleared out all this room and you didn't even get him. Hold on.
There's more.
There is absolutely more. So it was at this point, the Blazers, Paul Allen, believed that Minnesota was just trying to make life difficult for him. Then in the biggest non-shocker in the history of non-shocking sports moments, he then made an aggressive move. David Kahn did. You remember what he did? He went and signed Brandon Roy, who had retired.
Yeah.
And this nullified the insurance policy that Paul Allen had on Roy's contract. So then Paul Allen had to pay Brandon Roy some dough because Roy was no longer medically retired. What happened with Brandon Roy? Well, it turned out his knees were completely shot. And after the Timberwolves had given him $10 million a year, turns out Brandon Roy played 5 games before hanging it up for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That guy conned himself.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't remember all that other stuff.
Turns out he got into a peeing contest with the Blazers over Luke Babbitt and Martell Webster and then Brandon Roy.
Wow. And now he's in Paris running the Paris basketball or something?
Yes.
Dude, David Kahn. You know, I was looking at that draft. If he had done everything right, and, you know, look, this is not, it's always hindsight to say.
Hindsight 2020.
But he could have drafted with those three first-round picks. The best team that he could have put together, based on where everyone else fell, was Steph Curry, DeMar DeRozan, and Jeff Teague.
Yep. And instead, he ended up with the rights to Luke Babbitt, and which he then tried to turn into Martell Webster, which he then turned into Brandon Roy with no knees. I mean, my God.
Fascinating.
Yes.
And I remember one time I saw Kahn. Well, actually, there were two things about David Kahn. One was I used to host a show called Baseball Today.
I do remember.
Maybe it was that, or maybe it was a weekend show. It might have been Saturday morning. I was maybe on in Saturday morning time slot at that time.
Mm-hmm.
This was not 2009, like when he was with the Timberwolves. This was when he was in Portland doing the MLB to Portland stuff. And we were talking, because I was doing Saturday morning. I was with Gavin. And we were talking about MLB to Portland. and I don't remember what was said, but something that he didn't like, he called our boss, like, complaining about what was said on our show.
Oh, I do so enjoy that.
Two little weakling Saturday.
He tried to tattle on you to your boss?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember the exact details of all of it, but I remember the boss coming to us like, what did you guys do? What are you talking about? David Kahn rang me. We're like, oh crap. Like at the time it was a big deal. We're like, yeah, oh no.
What happened?
And then we were just like, I remember he told us, and we were like, yeah, whatever. He was like, hey, you know, you guys be careful. You know, yeah, be careful. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, don't be pissing people
like,
off.
Oh, shut up. That guy's a D.
I do love people that think that somehow you're going to get in trouble.
I think it was that he was really sensitive. He was actually driving to Salem. Mm-hmm. I think it was a day they were going to vote, or he was going to lobby or something. It was a very big, something was going on. It was a very big day. May not have been a weekend show now that I think about it. But he was driving in his car listening, going to Salem for something regarding Major League Baseball to Portland. And he heard something that would not have helped their cause or something, and got livid. And then called Alan Davis.
He thought he'd call your boss.
Yeah. Yeah. And Alan was like, you effed up. Don't do it again.
I love people. Well, remember we were talking, speaking of tattling, remember we were talking about that, you asked me, would I buy my son, who's 20, a beer at a Blazer game?
Or let him go buy a beer.
Yeah, yeah. And someone on Twitter tagged you, me, the Moda Center, and the Trailblazers just today, and said, can you buy a minor a beer at the Moda Center? Like, can Rop and Sook take their underage kids to a game or concert and buy them beers just like they suggested doing so on live radio? We got tattled on.
You got tattled on for that conversation?
To a building and an NBA team.
What, did they reply yet?
I tried replying back to him, laughing at him, but now it says that the tweet has either been deleted or I can no longer see it.
And then the other thing with Khan was, I ran into him in public and he stared me down, which has happened twice.
You got stared down by David Kahn twice?
I'm sorry. Uh-huh. I'm still stuck on a real listener tweeted that at the Moda Center and the Blazers based on our show's conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, look, things like this happen all the time, Mike.
People are wonderful.
You just got to keep doing your thing.
guys are right at parties.
Old Shea stared me down once in a restaurant in Lake Oswego.
Oh, yeah.
It was the only other time I've seen him in public.
Yeah.
And Old Shea intentionally stepped on Rashad's shoes. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah. It was at some sort of summer league event or something like that Rashad was covering for us. And he saw the 1080 The Fan mic flag.
Yep.
And like Rashad was leaning against the wall and Old Shea stood right in front of him to talk to somebody and kept scooting back and stepping on his shoes.
Boy, isn't
that a lot of pettiness out there.
A lot of pettiness.
Both of those guys were very similar, Khan and Old Shea.
You know,
sociopaths. By similar, I mean sociopaths. All right. Is that it for David Kahn talk? Wrath of David Kahn?
That's it. But if you go to any sort of Minnesota like fan page, dude, it's not the only one. Apparently, they like the David Kahn era in Minnesota is not remembered fondly.
That's just, well, yeah. Why would it be? I mean, that's one of the, I feel bad for Timberwolves fans now that
something special.
We've rehashed all that. All right, who are the Seahawks playing and in what order? Next, here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the NFL schedule released today. We are the home of the Seahawks, so thought we'd go through their sked and how it lays out, and then I will have strength of schedule for you.
Yeah, because I have the strength of schedule based on win percentage, which, you know, obviously is a little antiquated because there's so many changes. Think about like the Denver Broncos, but we'll give you the both the traditional strength of schedule, and then you have some the sharp football ones came up with what they actually think.
Well, it's just they don't use last year's
win percentage.
They use win probabilities for this year.
Yes.
Because the teams are so much different.
Yeah, it's more
accurate. To me, it would be more accurate.
Agreed.
So we'll have that for you. The Seahawks open week one right here on The Fan, September 12th, against the Denver Broncos and arch nemesis Russell Wilson.
Well, and look, there's not
Monday Night Football.
There's not many interesting games for Seattle this year.
That's badass.
Yeah, the Seahawks are going to be largely irrelevant. You're playing for a draft pick, but to kick it off with Denver coming to town before a Seattle fan realizes that they're probably going to be dreadful, dude, that's a
big
fantastic job on the part of the NFL. Because if this is like Week 10 and Seattle is, you know, a 2-win team at that point, then this game loses all of its juice. But 0-0, you know, Week 1, this is all you could ask
for. I think this was predicted, like, after the Russell Wilson trade. They saw that the Broncos were on the schedule, and they were like, maybe Monday Night Football Week 1 will work for this, and there it is.
Yeah.
Set the line.
I'll bet your Broncos are favored by...
I know the line.
6.5?
Is the line already out?
All the lines are out.
Oh, damn.
The line is Denver -3.5.
Yeah.
Really?
That's about what I thought,
too. I'll go ahead and lay some juice on Denver. I don't know. Seattle is not going to be good.
That game, though, man.
Well, man, why
Drew Locke, man.
Geno Smith and Drew Locke. Like, Denver is going to be good, and Seattle is not. They did not fix their offensive line. They drafted two air raid tackles that are probably going to take a little bit of time to develop. Neither one of them did any sort of run blocking in college. And you're relying on Drew Locke or Geno Smith? I'll go ahead and take Denver's roster and Russell Wilson.
I would do it now because I bet you that line's going to creep up.
Yes.
So they host Denver Monday nighter. Cool first game. Then they're at San Francisco 6 days later.
Yeah. Well, their schedule just in general is brutal because they play obviously in their division. We have to play every team twice, and then they get the AFC West.
They're actually fifth on the easiest strength of schedule, according to Shark Football.
Really?
Seattle is, yeah. So you've got Denver and San Francisco. Then week three, they host Atlanta, Marcus Mariota in the house.
Okay.
And then a road game, two back-to-back road games at Detroit, and at New Orleans.
They are, according to the traditional strength of schedule, they're 10th. If you're going off of win percentage.
So those are the first 5 weeks. Then they host Arizona at the Chargers. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Host the Giants. Winnable. Am I wrong?
Win, loss,
that's
win.
That's winnable.
Win.
Giants suck.
Yeah, the Giants.
So
then they're at Arizona.
They should not be very good, though.
And then Tom Brady's coming to town.
Yeah.
On November 13th, NFL Network game. Oh no, that's not. Is that's over? That's in.
Oh yeah, that's
Germany.
One,
that's
the
in,
one in
Germany.
Germany.
Yeah, so 6:30 a.m. I think it starts here. Mm. So that one is on November 13th, and then the Seahawks, because they're traveling all the way to Germany, then they get their bye. So they'll take their bye in week 11, and then the final several games are hosting the Raiders and Jarrett Stidham. They are at the Rams. So they don't play the Rams until week 13.
Oh, so you're going to get the Rams twice in the back half of the season there.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Carolina at home, San Francisco at home, at Kansas City week 16. And that's Christmas Eve.
And you're sitting there telling me that due to win probability, that's one of the weakest schedules in the NFL?
Well, it's fifth easiest according to Sharp Football.
I don't even know how that's possible.
And then you get... the Jets at home, that's New Year's Day.
That certainly helps.
And then the Rams is the last game, week 18, on January 8th at Seattle.
Okay.
So according to Sharp Football's strength of schedule based off of win probabilities, not last year's win percentage, the easiest schedule in the NFL is going to be the Washington Commanders, followed by the Chicago Bears, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Indianapolis Colts, and your Seattle Seahawks. Those are the easiest.
And what are the five toughest?
The toughest in the whole league is the Kansas City Chiefs, the New York Jets, second toughest, Rams and Niners, and then the Raiders.
See, that doesn't surprise me when you look at like the Chiefs, because again, because of the division they play with, same thing with anyone playing in Seattle's division. That's good. Not good news for the Jets.
Well, I got to tell you, I think the reason why the Seahawks schedule is seemingly one of the easiest. If you look at some of their games out of division, they got a lot of cupcakes. As a matter of fact, I can't imagine a team got as many cupcakes as they did. Now, not that they don't have some tough ones like the Chargers and Tampa Bay, but they got Atlanta, Detroit, Jets, Giants, and Panthers.
Well, that's because they finished in last, right?
Yeah.
So they match up with a couple of other last place teams. You always play a team that finished in the same spot as you.
So that's maybe how you could justify the Seahawks having one of the easiest schedules in the league.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, just, those are five really winnable games right there.
Yeah, but you also get Tampa Bay in Germany. You get, again, that whole division when you're talking about the Chiefs,
Raiders, Bolts.
Well,
they're not all going to be easy. So let's pull up Washington by, so Sharp Football thinks Washington has the easiest schedule.
Yeah, give me Washington. Oh my God. By the way, the Washington and Philly, the fact that they're right there, that's interesting because that is going to be, a bad division. You know, 9-10 games can win that division. I think Dallas could take a step back this year. And, you know, Philly made the playoffs last year, I think, being a 9-win team. So if you're Philadelphia and you're Washington, you got to sit in there being like, dude, this is the greatest news in the world, and that we play a dog crab schedule, and it's not going to take much to win that division.
So here's Washington, and I'll just leave out the Eagles and Cowboys games.
Sure.
And Giants. So you know they play
them
twice.
You know they play them twice.
So they host Jacksonville.
Yeah.
They are at Detroit. Host Tennessee. At Chicago. Host Green Bay. At Indy. Host the Vikings. At Houston.
Oh, my God.
Host Atlanta. At San Francisco. Host Cleveland.
And we don't, and Cleveland's weird because we don't know what's happening with Deshaun Watson. That's a good schedule.
That's the easiest.
That's the one. I mean, you got three, maybe four games, depending on what happens with Cleveland, where you look at it and you're kind of like, eh, that's not so good. Everything else, including your division, which kicks rocks, dude, that's the sweetheart of a schedule.
November 10th, as P1 Scott points out, is the Duck Bowl between the Justin Herbert-led Chargers against the Marcus Mariota-led Falcons.
Yeah.
Not interested in that, I see.
I mean, look, that's kind of a cute little thing, but I'm just telling you right now, I'm not interested in anything that Atlanta's doing. I mean, not a single thing.
You just called the Duck Bowl cute.
Well, it is cute. I mean, I get it, Mariota and Herbert, but look, we know that Justin Herbert is about 1,000 times better than Marcus, and we know that the Chargers are significantly better than the Falcons, so is it really, you know, is that really a great matchup? Other than if you're a Duck fan, you're like, oh, two quarterbacks.
So there's hot schedule talk. Do you need any more?
Oh,
would you like to go through each team's schedule?
No.
One by one?
No, but we got a good opener there on Thursday night.
Great one.
With the Rams and the Bills.
That's amazing.
We got this text, by the way, that says, so the Seahawks could be 3-2, and that's when you guys play the Are the Seahawks a Good segment you talked about a few weeks ago.
I told you.
I promise you, at no point this year will I ever say that the Seahawks
are
good.
No, I said, you heard me.
I heard you.
Do you forget this?
Oh, I heard you, and the response to your question will be, kiss my ass, no they're not.
All right, so we've already got one segment killed for the football
team.
The poll
killed.
Question is already in Rob's mind. Are the Seahawks good? Yes, yes or no?
I said...
No, I want a third option, which is kiss my ass. No. I want it on the record. When you put that poll question up, I want my response on there.
So just to clarify, this was the other day we were talking about the Seahawks, and I said there will come a time at some point this season where we will debate, or the question will come up, are the Seahawks good? And so, we'll see.
Kiss my ass now.
Kiss my ass.
And Suk's already got his response.
That's right. By the way, I saw that I'm just kind of scrolling through different little blurbs on the schedule, and the New York Jets play one primetime game, one. And it's a Thursday night game against Jacksonville.
What?
If you want to take a guess of what the NFL thinks about the Jets, I give you that. One primetime game, Thursday night, Jacksonville.
By the way, the Seahawks, you know, you don't want them to win.
No, you want them to be bad. And
number
they
one
want
pick.
To be bad.
Yeah, number one pick quarterback, right?
Yes. You don't want to win games. Your whole objective this year is for Drew Lock or Geno Smith, whoever is worse, and that is a coin flip of coin flips. That's who you want to be the starter. Lose games.
All right, we now know who the Blazers are sending to the lottery next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Suk doesn't know it, but he has been sexually harassed multiple times over the years.
Probably by you.
I don't really make fun of you because you're bald. I make fun of you for other things.
Mm-hmm. Valid point.
I have that story. But right now, some quick audio. You know, the NBA draft lottery is Tuesday.
Yes.
And we will be on the air. I remember we were on the air when the Blazers got the number one pick in the Greg Oden draft. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
We were out at, I think we were out at a Buffalo Wild Wings the day they announced, or the day they had the draft lottery.
Yeah, it was a big deal. I remember Barrett losing it. And
yeah, Barrett and Rice were out there with us, weren't they? Weren't we out there too?
I don't remember if they were out there with
us. Or no, maybe they were on their own
Their own draft party, but that's we had the audio of it. And then we accused them of knowing ahead of time, and then they got all mad about it.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, they got all butthurt claiming that we were lying.
Well, anyway, Blazers got the number one pick.
Yes, turned out.
Screwed it up, but they got it.
Not to be very good, but you know.
So it could be that all over again. So make sure you tune in on Tuesday for our show, The Draft Lottery. The Blazers could get the number one pick.
I feel like this is one of those drafts, too, where if you end up with, lots of times you end up with the number one pick, like, it's a no-brainer, whether it's LeBron or, you know, Timmy Duncan. It's like, oh my God, this is the draft. Boy, I feel like this year's draft is a little like you just cross your fingers and freaking hope.
In other words, if the Blazers get the number one pick, they could easily screw it up.
Well, yes, and I don't think it's necessarily their fault if it happens because there's no...
Well, it is their fault. Well, they're the ones drafting.
That is true. I'm just saying I think it's a lot harder nowadays to pick the number one guy than it was in years past. Right? Like, let's say you land the number one pick.
Me?
You.
Great.
You yourself. Right. When's the last time that you really had a true franchise-changing, franchise-defining number one overall pick?
I'd have to go look at the picks.
Because I got them here in front of me.
All right, well, hold on.
Franchise-changing? Franchise-changing. Like, where instantly you're like, dude, This was it. This was the turning point.
Howie Shannon, 1949 Providence Steamrollers.
I honestly think you got to go back. Now, we can debate this. I think you got to go back to Dwight Howard.
So it's Cade Cunningham.
Uh-huh. No.
Anthony Edwards.
You could make a case, but we don't know where that's going. He's talented. He's young.
I mean,
but
they made the playoffs, and they haven't done that in a long time.
But that's where we're at now. It's like you made the playoffs, and we're like, hooray.
Well, it's the beginning of a potential franchise.
Yeah, I think
moment,
that one's still kind of up in the air.
That's up in the air.
He's shown signs.
Yeah.
Zion Williamson.
Nope.
DeAndre Ayton.
Nope.
Markel Fultz.
Nope.
Ben Simmons.
Nope.
Karl Anthony Towns.
Absolutely not.
Andrew Wiggins.
Nope.
Anthony Bennett.
Let's just start a laughter emoji right now.
Anthony Davis.
Hell no.
He's pretty good.
I mean, he did change the trajectory of the Pelicans.
Yeah, for nothing. They won nothing. His whole tenure there.
So what is your criteria here?
Someone that actually made. That made a real difference. Anthony Davis won squat. The only thing they ever won there is a first round series against the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I do. But at the same time,
he did change.
He's like,
what did he change?
He's a stud. Like, the number one pick, like, that's a great.
Well, he made the Pelicans relevant.
No, he didn't.
They were awful before that.
Yeah,
They weren't good with him.
Well, they were in the playoffs and stuff. Like, I mean.
So this is our criteria.
No,
you said franchise altering.
I get what you're saying, but I think there's another side to this where you've glossed over a couple guys that have been pretty damn good. Now, but I understand what you mean by this.
All I'm saying is if the Blazers got Anthony Davis, who's uber talented, and for 7 years he was here, and all you had to show for it was one first round victory, what would we all be saying? You think anyone in New Orleans is sitting around today being like, boy, it's a good thing we got Anthony Davis? Continue.
Then we have Kyrie Irving.
Well, did get them Brandon Ingram.
Kyrie Irving was terrible, but then LeBron came back and they won a title with him.
Davis did win a title.
not in New Orleans, he didn't.
Kyrie.
So Kyrie is interesting. They were god awful with him, but then again, LeBron came back.
That's pretty good though.
So you could
John Wall.
Nope.
Blake Griffin.
Nope.
Derrick Rose.
Won an MVP and then got hurt.
Craig Oden.
Nope.
What? What do you mean nope? Andrea Bargnani.
Yeah.
Andrew Bogut. Dwight Howard.
I think that's the first one where Dwight Howard got there. Orlando wasn't just good. They got to NBA Finals. He was a Defensive Player of the Year. He was arguably the best center in the NBA and was dominant for a decade. And then after that, it's LeBron, which is
Yao Ming too.
This goes back to my question the other week of, would you rather the Blazers have the second pick? Because then you don't have the pressure of making the mistake in the first pick. And potentially you get the better player who falls who maybe didn't have quite as high of a potential.
I think when you've got four guys, and that's what they say, there are four guys that are the elite players, I think you want to be able to take your pick.
Yeah.
I don't care about pressure. Nobody cares about pressure. They may screw it up, but they want the pick of the litter.
And all I'm trying to say with this is the number one pick obviously is a big deal. But more often than not, when we go back 20 years, the number one pick has not meant any sort of monumental change. And again, people are like, Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns is a nice player.
Well, there's a lot of really good players we were in there.
But until Anthony...
Multiple-time All-Stars.
And until Anthony Edwards came along, Karl Anthony Towns meant nothing to the Timberwolves.
I think your criteria... is too lofty. Look, the number one pick...
What, winning something, winning in the playoffs at all?
No, I think that LeBron... Well, I think it's more than just one player. I think it's the first thing. But second, LeBron ruins everything because LeBron goes on to be LeBron and wins, you know, wherever he goes. Like, I feel like that's a standard that we're now... That might maybe changed... And Tim Duncan, too. You know, that's within, what... 6-7 years of each other.
Sure.
So when you look at the number one pick, I mean, you know, with guys like even like Blake Griffin, certainly Irving, certainly Anthony Davis, Towns is coming around, but
can I real quick,
DeAndre Ayton.
I know a lot of people are taking issue with Karl Anthony Towns. So this is since Karl Anthony Towns came to the Timberwolves. Okay. 16, 29, 31, 47, 36, 19, 23, 46. Their win totals.
Well, again, but I think
just hold on.
All right.
Two playoffs. God. They've made the playoffs twice, and they've never won a playoff series. So don't tell me that getting Karl Anthony Towns was some sort of franchise-defining thing, because it wasn't. He may be a nice Batman or a nice Robin, and maybe Anthony Edwards turns out to really be the star, but... Damian Lillard had a much bigger impact on the Portland Trailblazers than Karl Anthony Towns ever had on Minnesota.
But so, I don't think it's that simple. I think that, look, of course, when you look at it, just saying Karl Anthony Towns didn't mean anything. Well, a lot of it, like to me, that shows that franchise sucks. When you take a number one, when you draft number one and you get a player the caliber of Karl Anthony Towns, you should have won more.
Yes.
Right. So that isn't all on Karl Anthony Towns. In other words, that's a good draft pick, but they failed to capitalize on that draft pick. It shows you what else you have to do to build a team. Not everybody, this is what I'm saying. Like not everybody's LeBron. Like we're saying that, you get the number one pick and all of a sudden you should be great and you should be winning in the playoffs. It's not quite that simple. And I think Karl Anthony Towns is a great example of that. Although he's been a little weird. Like
he's been a lot weird.
Yeah, I feel like he's only popped the last couple years.
And he's played with Jimmy Butler, and we talked about the young Timberwolves and how they were exciting. And the last couple years, Towns was viewed largely as ineffective and a guy you can't build around.
But you're cherry picking a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of really good players in there, like Derrick Rose, injury problems. Derrick Rose was MVP level talent.
Yes, he won an MVP.
Right. These are the players that when you get the number one pick, these are the players that help you change the fate of your franchise. And a lot of these guys have. Kyrie is certainly greatness, weird, and you know, we all know why. But Blake Griffin, even, you know, if the Blazers get if the Blazers get the number one pick and they get a player the caliber of DeAndre Ayton, Blake Griffin, John Wall, Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, a lot of those guys that you dismissed, you are on your way to surrounding Damian Lillard with the type of talent that it takes to get further than where they have been. That's all. I mean, so I totally understand what you're saying, but I think there's another way to view it.
Sure.
And
the truth always lies somewhere in the middle. I just think we make a big deal out of getting the number one overall pick. And most of those franchises over the last 20 years, if you're being honest, would tell you that number one pick did not mean what most of us consider a number one pick meaning to you.
Well, if you look at, the previous dynasty before LeBron came along, it's the Spurs, and they had two number one picks.
Yep.
Right? So it did matter then.
Oh, Timmy Duncan mattered.
Yeah. And it's like,
and I'm not
but
saying,
then you could look at the Warriors. You could say
that's the other one.
You could say it's less about, I think this is where I'll agree with you. It's less about the number one pick and more about you just nailing your drafts.
Yes.
Look at what the Suns have done.
More about your own scouting.
Yes.
Yeah. Look at what the Warriors have been able to do.
Steph changed there are players, Giannis.
Thank God for David Kahn.
Guys like this.
Because the Warriors were able to get Steph.
When they go to your team, those guys are franchise defining players. And I know it's easy to cherry pick because, you know, you're dealing with a much broader scope. But the number one overall pick over the last 20 plus years is not the guy that changes it. It's the number two guy. It's the number six guy. It's the number eight guy.
Well, I think to your point, there is a guy likely
almost in every draft.
There is a guy likely among the four guys at the top of this draft.
Yes.
That is a franchise changing player.
And you got to find
it. It's probably not going to be all of them.
Yep.
Even though they all look that they could be. So, yeah, exactly. You, with your pick, have to pick the one out of the four that is that guy. That is not easy, as you see with some of these draft whiffs over the years. Mm-hmm. Ask David Kahn. But
because even when you get a really good player, Anthony Davis.
Yes, but the point is,
doesn't mean it.
You want to be swimming in that pool.
Yeah.
You at least have the opportunity. Whereas the Blazers, what's their best draft pick over the last...
Well,
you know, 10 years, it's
possibly Anthony Simons.
Myers. I mean the number.
Oh,
Leonard was like 11th.
Well, see, after CJ and Dame, I don't think they've had a high pick.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Collins, Leonard, Siege.
Oh yeah. Zach Collins.
And those weren't even in the top 10. I don't think any of those.
Zach Collins, I think, was in the top 10. They were right there. They moved up to get him.
Point being, this is where you want to be, this area of the draft. And you can't fear the pick. You can't fear screwing up. You trust what your eyes see in your scouting department, and you go draft that guy. I love that for the Blazers more than any free agent signing they're going to, or trade they're going to make.
Agreed.
Is who they pick.
Yeah.
Now, they may package the pick and move off of the draft, but I don't think they should. I think they should draft, especially if they get a top four pick, boom.
Draft him.
And be right, damn it.
Zach, by the way, was the 10th overall pick, and I think that's the highest they've had.
All right.
I don't think they've had one higher than that.
Club 1080 is next. Bald guys are being sexually harassed constantly.
Damn right.
Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.